At Salesforce, we're all about asking more of AI. Questions like, where is the data going? Is it private? Is it secure? Is it ready to use now? How about now? And if not now, when? And how? Get answers you can trust from Salesforce at askmoreofai.com.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Tuesday, October 10th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Technology is often billed as something that can unite and connect us all, regardless of where we live, our nationality, or our politics. But the business of tech, be it big tech or startups, can't escape the geopolitical realities of the world. And in this episode, we're going to hear about some of the most pressing challenges facing the tech economy right now. Starting in Israel, following land, air, and sea attacks from Hamas militants over the weekend, more than 700 Israelis have been confirmed dead, according to Israeli authorities, and over 560 Palestinians have been killed, according to the health ministry in Gaza. White House officials said 9 U.S. citizens have died, while other U.S. citizens are unaccounted for. Dozens of military and civilian hostages taken by Hamas are believed to have been taken into Gaza as the fighting continues. Meanwhile, there are concerns the conflict will spread. All of this is having an impact on the country's tech startups and venture capital investors. Yulia Chernova from the WSJ's Pro Venture Capital team has been covering this, and she joins us now. Yulia, this war has a lot of people, including startup founders and investors, being called up for the draft. How is that impacting the local tech economy?
The draft is pretty significant, and it's a small country. That means that many businesses have sizable percentages of their employee base being called up. I spoke with a founder who's been called up. He's delegating. He's had to get his family prepared. His wife is pregnant. And then get his startup employees prepared as much as possible who are going through their own emotional drama and situations. And he said that he's offline a lot of the times, but when he's online, he answers some of the most crucial questions and the rest the team handles.
So he's trying to juggle being a soldier and being a founder?
Absolutely. And a lot of the people in the tech sector in Israel are trying to use technology for various volunteer efforts and trying to be as useful as they can, whether it's finding missing people, trying to rescue people.
We've already seen somewhat of a pullout from Israeli tech startups and Israeli investment due to the tensions around some of the judicial changes in the country. What does this latest crisis mean for the tech sector in Israel?
It's hard to tell right now. I mean, the venture market globally is in a downturn. It's not just an issue for Israel. And most of the money in venture capital funds is in the U.S. A lot of U.S. venture funds have been investing much less internationally since the downturn started, including into Israel. And the situation on the ground there with the judicial reform conflicts and protests, you know, hasn't helped the Israeli startup to attract more money, that's for sure. So this crisis comes at a time when that startup ecosystem has been experiencing a downturn. And what happens next, it's on the one hand, makes investing there maybe more risky to some degree. At the same time, the whole country is galvanizing and uniting in a way that they weren't united because of the political tensions over the past year. So some people believe that this will show the resilience of Israel and will actually attract more investors, but that's to be seen.
All right, that's our reporter, Yulia Chernova. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
We have live coverage of this developing story on WSJ.com. All right, after the break, we'll hear from a U.S. official who says tensions between Washington and Beijing could erupt into a conflict that pulls in big tech. Stick with us. We'll be back in a moment.
At Salesforce, we're all about asking more of AI. Questions like, where is the data going? Is it private? Is it secure? Are you sure? Are you sure you're sure? Is anyone really sure? For sure? Get answers you can trust from Salesforce at askmoreofai.com.
China is a country where a significant amount of the world's technology hardware is built, including for U.S.-based companies. But a potential decoupling or split between the U.S. and Chinese economies is threatening to upend supply chains and customer bases. Jacob Hellberg, a member of the U.S.-China Economic and Security Review Commission, says there's even a real possibility of war, one that could pull in and shake up the global tech sector. At the WSJ's CIO Summit, Hellberg sat down with our tech columnist Christopher Mims to discuss these issues. Here are highlights from their conversation.
So there's a lot of animosity. There's escalating tensions, but the U.S. and China are still, especially in terms of tech, very interdependent. When you think about how does one build an iPhone without China, for example, I mean, it raises the issue of, does the U.S. do it on its own? Like, does decoupling mean deglobalization?
I think what you're seeing overwhelmingly is that the answer is no. You saw this with the Biden administration hosting the trilateral summit with South Korea and Japan. You see this with the deepening of America's relationship with the UK and Australia through AUKUS. There's a lot of efforts going on in the administration, as well as through Congress, to actually deepen relationships with a lot of other countries, including India, which is a very large, fast-growing market. The issue is that China poses unique political and geopolitical risks to the United States. And so you're seeing a lot of, in my view, justified concerns by policymakers and an enormous impetus to recalibrate that relationship.
Now, the government can only do so much of that on its own. What are businesses doing? Are they responding by attempting to decouple, or are they proceeding business as usual?
I think a lot of business people are actually very savvy, and they're seeing the direction of travel. They're seeing that in Washington, we're headed towards a climate where you're going to see more regulation, more scrutiny on anything that involves transactions with China. But you're also seeing a business climate in China that's becoming really, really difficult to operate in.
Let's talk about the elephant in the room, which is that so much of what's driving this talk of decoupling is China's seems very credible threat to retake Taiwan, where overwhelming majority of the world's most advanced microprocessors, including for Apple and all the custom chips now that are powering a lot of the AI revolution, are all manufactured. I feel like when I talk to business people, there's a disconnect between their feeling about the odds of that and how the national security types that I talk to feel about it.
Yeah, so interestingly, in the U.S., we've kind of seen a tale of two cities between Washington and our other economic hubs around the country, where you're right that national security people in Washington actually see probably a more than 50% chance of a hot conflict with China break out potentially in the next 5 years. Xi Jinping said he wants to reunify Taiwan by 2027, which a lot of people think really means 2025. And the United States is the main country that stands in his way with a smooth reannexation of Taiwan. And so obviously this is a potentially cataclysmic event. And our business community has been very, very slow to catch on to this reality. And to your point, ultimately, if this happens, if decoupling happens to you, it's going to be really painful. And it's probably going to mean that you're going to see billions of dollars in assets get frozen or nationalized overnight.
I mean, what happens to the companies on day one of that conflict? Like, does Tim Cook just call up Samsung and be like, I need to move 100% of my production of cutting edge A whatever chips to your fabs in South Korea, and you're going to start air freighting them the other way around the world?
You're right that it would have significant impacts on large trillion-dollar companies like Apple. And what you would probably see very quickly is China cut off its supply chains to large American companies like Apple. It would probably attempt its domestic companies like Huawei and Xiaomi to fill the void in global demand for cell phones with its domestic companies to try to use that window to gain market share and basically try to decimate American companies. And so it's
so economic warfare.
Economic warfare. During World War II, there was this concept called total warfare, which is war on all fronts, financial, military, and so forth. It would very much be that way in a war with China, except the aperture of war would be so vast just because our technology today is just so expansive and reaches into so many parts of
our lives. So just to step back from that brink for a moment, I mean, that's an outcome that sounds so catastrophic that I think the sort of logical fatalist in any of us is like, what do we all need to be doing to prepare?
Well, it's especially cataclysmic if you're a hardware company that relies on supply chains in China, or if you're a fund that has billions of dollars in investments tied up in illiquid assets in China. It's really not that cataclysmic if you have already started reshoring operations, whether it's in Vietnam or in India.
But to be clear, it's a really big world out there, but the rest of the world doesn't have the supply chains, the materials, the expertise, all of that institutional knowledge that China now, in some ways, has sole possession of.
Well, it didn't 20 years ago. So it wasn't always this way. I mean, the iMac was made in Elk Grove, California, up until the early 2000s. So, you know, when we think about, oh, gee, it would be so impossible to make these phones elsewhere, it really wasn't that long ago that the map looked very, very different.
That was Jacob Hellberg, a member of the U.S.-China Economic and Security Review Commission, speaking with the WSJ's tech columnist, Christopher Mims. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang with supervising producer Melanie Roy. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening.